mountains, told the wind and waves, be still, cast out demons, bid the empty soul be filled. Now there's breakthrough, now there's freedom in your name. You gave us power and the keys to do the same. You hold redemption,
made accusers drop their stones,
showed us mercy
with your mighty,
with your mighty miracles.
Now there's breakthrough,
now there's breakthrough,
now there's freedom,
now there's freedom in your name. You gave us power and the keys to do the same.
Now we proclaim
in Jesus' name,
walls fall down
in Jesus' name,
and strongholds break
in Jesus' name. Amen.
And we are healed
in Jesus' name.
There's miracles
in Jesus' name.
So pour it out
in Jesus' name. Amen.
Crush the darkness,
crush the darkness, made a fool of death and grave. Oh King Jesus, you make royals out of slaves. And now there's breakthrough, now there's freedom in your name. You gave us power
and the keys,
and the keys to do the same.
Now we proclaim
in Jesus' name,
walls fall down
in Jesus' name,
God, don't we, church? Amen. You can be seated this morning. We are so glad you took time on this beautiful October. It's hard to believe that, but this beautiful October morning. Amen. The year is flowing by, but we are so glad you've taken time to join us in worship. If it's your first time worshiping with us, we'd like to get to connect with you and know you a little bit better. There's a connection card that hopefully one of the ushers gave you. If not, they're out at the welcome kiosk. Please fill that out. And if you're watching online, there's also a bit.ly link you can fill out. We're glad you're here, and we're excited about Jesus, and we're excited about what Jesus is doing all around us. Amen? Amen. It's a part where you get excited. Amen. Also, we want to allow, if you, for those of you that want to give and want to be blessed, you can give out at the welcome kiosk. You can also give on the Church Center app. You can mail it in. I'm not the preacher. Pastor Phil's doing it, but I want to encourage you, parents, teach your children to give cheerfully. I know we are getting ready to leave this morning, and Isaiah's like, Dad, can I get some money from my piggy bank? I want to give some offering. So he went and got some money out of his piggy bank, as he knows to give his tithes and to also bring an offering. And when I put my tithes and offering in, he got his money and he dropped it in the box as well. So let's teach our children that the blessings of God continue from generation to generation. This Friday, October 7th, all church prayer, 7 p.m. in the main sanctuary. Woo. You're not going to want to miss it. A wonderful, powerful time of prayer together with God's body. Also, October is Pastor Appreciation Month, so we want to give thanks for our pastoral team for all that they do. In two Sundays, on October 16th, we'll be having a special service to recognize them. Remember to keep them in prayer. Thank them when you see them in service. Also, if you want to send a text, a card, a gift card, a Lego gift card for some. We've got the spirit going there, Pastor Phil. Amen. We serve an awesome God. I put that in there just for Pastor Phil. And he didn't pay me for that. But Lego gift cards are good. I'm on that bandwagon too. Let's stand, if you will. Now, some of you just got real spiritual and some of you just got carnal. So we're going to pray the presence of God back in. Amen. We love God. See, you can have a good time in the house of God. Amen. I'm excited to gather together with my brothers and sisters and worship Jesus and love God. Life is so wonderful. It doesn't matter if you're going through the storm of your life. When you're doing it with Jesus, we can have peace. We can have joy. We can have comfort. We can have a smile on our face. We can be a light and witness to our world. Amen. A few things to keep in prayer. General Conference will be coming up. Many are traveling down there this week. So do keep General Conference, the voting that will be happening, and all our brothers and sisters that are traveling there. Also, I ask that you keep Sister Manley in your prayers. She's having some health challenges right now. If you would like to visit, please go through Sister Lori Grant to visit her. But do keep her in your prayers. We know that God is able. And if there's any unspoken needs, if you just lift your hand and signify that, and if someone's around them, if you just gather around and let's pray. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and we are going to see an awesome move of God this morning. Amen. I believe that. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each and every person gathered here today, God. Thank you for all that you're doing, all that you prepared, all that you promised, God. Thank you for your love and mercy, God. Thank you for your truth. Be with each and every need that was lifted up here this morning. God, be with all those traveling to General Conference, God. And be with Sister Manley right now. Touch her body. Give her strength. Let her feel your nearness as we pray and gather together. God, have your way in the remainder of this service. Be with Pastor Phil as he preaches the word. And God, we thank you for never losing, God. Thank you for fighting for us, God. Thank you that we can gather and worship you openly. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Let's worship together. If you're comfortable, please come around the altar and let's worship Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus over every heart and every mind. Because I know there is peace in your presence, I speak Jesus.
I just want to speak the name of Jesus till every dark addiction starts to break, declaring there is hope and there is freedom. I speak Jesus. Your name is power. Your name is healing. Your name is love. Break every stronghold. Shine through the shadows. Burn like a fire. Thank you.
Shout Jesus from the mountains, and Jesus in the streets, and Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name, Jesus.
Oh, shout Jesus,
shout Jesus from the mountains, Jesus in the streets, Jesus in the darkness over every enemy. Jesus for my family, I speak the holy name. Casting out fear,
Lord God.
into this.
Stand with me as we turn to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. before she gets out. It's so good to have Bianca visiting and worship leading. Amen. So good to see her. Amen. I saw Alyssa over there. So good to see you, Alyssa. Visiting her boo. She'll be joining us next year. Amen. When they get married. But it's good to see you. Amen. Matthew chapter 13. And, you know, Brother Benjamin joked about Lego gift cards. Well, Wednesday I joked about giving a puppy. I was joking. And not talking about me. I came home and my kids are all excited. They're going to get a puppy. Like, please don't get me a puppy. I'm allergic. I'm allergic to dogs. So, amen. Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 44, says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. In verse 45, again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. This morning I want to speak on this subject, the pearl's great price. Pearl's great price. Let's put our Bibles down, our phones down, and let's go before the Lord in prayer and ask Him to speak to our hearts this morning. Lord Jesus, so thankful, God, that we can speak Your name. We can call upon it, God. And Lord God, there is healing that ushers in. There is Your arms wrap around us. There's freedom. There's deliverance. Strongholds are broken, God. And in this moment, Lord Jesus, You have a word for us, and I pray You speak to our hearts, speak to my heart even as I deliver what You have for us this morning. Challenge us and stir us, and Lord, as we draw closer to You, Lord Jesus, God, draw close to us this morning as Your word says You will. In Jesus' name, everybody said, in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Our opening scripture says the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls. It's human nature to search after things. Everyone searches. It might be non-consequential, like seeking after adventure or that next adrenaline rush. And so you get in a perfectly good airplane and jump out of it just for fun. Enjoy that. I will not be joining you. Or as simple as seeking to better oneself through education, or seeking after a basic need of food, water, shelter. But it often goes deeper, and our actions in life can be traced back to the pursuit of something. We may seek value or affirmation from our job and career. We may seek after love or companionship. We may seek after acceptance. We may seek after the meaning of life, or what is the meaning of our lives. Young people, I was a youth pastor here for 10 years, I believe it was, and being a teenager can be tough, because oftentimes it's, what is the point of my life in this world? I'm trying to figure that out, and that's natural. Who am I? Why am I here? And adults, as I now find out as we enter our midlife crisis age, we are asking the same things. Who am I? Why am I here? I need more Lego to answer that question. But we're searching. We have questions. We may seek fame, which at one point in history was only found by the smallest percentage of folks. But now with the proliferation of YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok, fame is more tangible, and many have gone searching for it. At Summer Fun Fest, we had, I will not mention who, or look in their direction, but two young people who are looking for TikTok fame, and I hopefully helped their fame quest by dancing in the background as they danced in the foreground. It was quite hilarious. I wasn't really dancing. I don't know what I was doing, but I'm sure I could get millions of hits. If only they posted it. I don't know if they did. As each one of us is sitting here thinking about our own pursuits of life, it's interesting to consider that the kingdom of God is compared to someone who is searching for beautiful pearls. I don't know what it takes to find pearls. I've never gone pearl diving. I've heard that term, pearl diving. So I'm assuming you have to dive and find an oyster or a clam and find a pearl. I would assume that's the case, but I've never been, so I don't really know, and I can't speak from that experience. But I can sure assure you today that it's not random like Scott Overland. Scott is from Pennsylvania. In the last I'm not sure exactly the time frame, but he was on vacation with his family in Delaware and went to eat at Salt Air, a restaurant in Rehoboth, Delaware. He chose to have the fresh clams, and as he was finishing them up, he describes that he felt something hard and crunchy, which is not good in a clam. I've never eaten clams, but they're slimy. That's why I haven't eaten them. So hard and crunchy is not supposed to happen. He thought the lavender-colored round object was a hard candy at first, but upon further inspection of the clamshell, realized that it fit perfectly into a small indentation that was there, and what he actually had found was a rare purple pearl. Soon found out from a professional estimator that he has stumbled on a rare pearl valued at $4,071. Man, that's a good trade on that lunch, huh? We may stumble on a pearl this year, one in a million, one in a billion type situation. But if we want to search for pearls, that's probably not the way to go about it to be successful. Just keep eating clams. I'll find one day. My folks live in Florida, and as do my brother and his family, and so oftentimes we've gathered down there for Christmas time, or we often take our boys down there to be with Oma and Papu. And about 6 weeks ago, my parents left. I've joked about this. So we took the hard, monumental task of house sitting for them down in Florida. It was very tough to have a free car, free lodging, no grandparents around. And just they told us to eat everything we wanted to. Thankfully, we didn't, because hurricane came through and power went out. And I joked, I said, well, glad we didn't eat any of your food, because now you still have some food there. But anyways, we had a great time house sitting for them. And having been down there many times as a kid, when my grandparents lived in Sarasota as well, one of my favorite memories was going to the beach and finding shark teeth. And so on this trip, I wanted to create that memory. And they're now 3 and almost 7, and my boys are, and so, you know, we need to do another trip to the beach to find shark teeth, but I wanted to start that memory. And so we took a half day and went shark tooth hunting. Now, shark teeth aren't pearls, but from that day's experience, I want to extrapolate. What does it look like to search for the pearl, as well as what, in fact, is the pearl's great price? In our visits to Florida, we've gone to Miramar Beach, which is in the Panhandle, northern Florida. And then Sarasota is on the east side of the state, just below Tampa on the Gulf of Mexico side. And so that's where we've predominantly been. But we've been to Miramar Beach in the north. In Sarasota, we've been to a private beach on Longboat Key. We've been to Lido Beach, as well as the white sands of Siesta Beach. Just beautiful. But in all my times at those beaches, I never found shark teeth. I never found shark teeth. And so to find shark teeth, we drove about 30 minutes south to Venice, Florida, and went out to Casperson Beach. This beach has a small parking lot. It's not huge. It's got a boardwalk directly across the road. And it's one of these thin strips, barrier islands, that probably is destroyed. I really want to go down there right now because there's probably tons of shark teeth on the shore because the hurricane brought them up. But a little boardwalk, and then there's steps going down the beach, and literally this is not like hundreds of feet to the water. It's 15 feet and the water's there. It's huge boulders there. It's not a, hey, let's go hang out at the beach and play volleyball type beach. It's just a small strip of sand, rocky. But this beach is often called the shark tooth capital of the world. It's a place where you can find those fossilized shark teeth. If you want to find shark teeth, when you're on the east side of Florida, you go to Casperson Beach. And so when you are searching for pearls, you go where lobsters are found. No, you go where oysters, clams are found. When it comes to the kingdom of God, we have to go to the source. We're not going to find God in the newspaper. Anybody read a newspaper, like physical? All right, a couple hands. You don't be shy. It's okay. There we go. That was for you, three folks. You're not going to find God in the newspaper. We're not going to find God in an article written by Time magazine about the religions of this world or whatever magazine of your preference. We're not going to find it on scrolling on blogs. We're going to find God in the answers when we pursue after him. Psalms 145, 18, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. This song that we sang, I Speak Jesus, it's in his name we find all this stuff. It's in him we find our freedom and our healing and life. And so we have to go to the source to find the answers that we're searching for in life. I invited a friend or an individual to church recently, and their response was, I'm not into religion. Well, religion is not why Calvary Gospel Church exists. Relationship with Jesus Christ is why we exist. And that's why we encourage folks to read the Bible. It's God's word in written form. That's why we encourage folks to pray. That's how we develop a relationship with Jesus. We don't pray and read the Bible to check off the religious task for the day so we feel good. No, because Jesus is a source and where we're going to find the answers. If you've been searching for something and not finding it, perhaps you've searched for the wrong thing or you're searching in the wrong place. And oftentimes we are pursuing things that we think we know what we're pursuing, but really, if we filter through things, it's Jesus is that answer for our lives. God has the answers. We've got to get to the source. Amen. We did some research before heading to Casperson Beach, and we found that though we may go to the source of shark teeth, it doesn't mean we'll find any. And so what we needed to help us out in our search was the right equipment. There are shark teeth sifters that one can rent from local shops. One version, it's a long metal pole. There was a couple folks who had them out there when we were there. Long metal pole and basically a metal scoop at the bottom, but it's metal like mesh at the bottom. And just dig down, scoop up, and you start to sift. Sand washes out. You can look through the main pieces and parts and shells and stuff for the teeth. I decided to just go with the old plastic colander my mom had. And it pretty much worked the same way. Probably could have used the long pole to pull stuff up, but that's what I had. And once the sand washed out, it was much easier to search for the shark teeth. And in our pursuit of Christ, it's no different. We need to use the tools and resources that are at our disposal. Because, you know, we're like, well, I'm just going to find it. Well, there are things that we may not understand. And we may, you know, I was born in a minister's home. I was raised in as a missionary's kid in Greece and then Germany. This is all I've known. But maybe you're sitting in here and this is your first exposure to Jesus Christ. In this world today, there's not a Judeo-centric mindset and understanding. And so some things that maybe I consider second nature and I understand, there are folks who may not. And so you can't just say, well, I'll figure it out. No, you need to use the tools and resources that are available. The Word of God is one obvious tool that we have. It's God's Word written down in a form that we can access at any time to help us through any situation, answer those questions in our search. As we grow in relationship with Him, accessing the source, the Bible is such a vital tool for us to use. Not check off the box. It does no good for you just to read to read. Well, I read the Bible today. Man, I'd rather you read one scripture that is applicable to your life and you figure out, God, what are you speaking to me? Because the Word of God is not just a book. It's a living book. There's life in it. And one scripture can just set off a chain of events in your mind, in your spirit, in your heart, and in your world that will change your world. Change your worldview by one scripture. So I would venture to say or challenge you, don't read to check the list off. If that's all you're doing, change it up. Figure it out. Maybe it's studying somebody's life instead. And so you read about their life and find out how do I identify in David's story or Joseph's story or all these individuals in the Bible? Amen. There's a written word of God, but there's also the spoken word of God. Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they hear? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? In verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Don't forsake hearing the word of God. Don't forsake the house of God. We live stream here at CGC because we know some folks can't medically or physically make it to the house of God. We understand that. We want them to still get the word of God in their lives. But if we are able, we should be in church. Says, and amen, says all the people that are in church. You're probably feeling pretty good. Yep, got it. You're in the house of God. I'm so glad. But I want to encourage you. There are more people right now than there were at 10 a.m. this morning. We have an adult Bible class at 10 a.m. where there's teaching. It's not preaching. There's not a huge worship set. It's one song, and then we get into the teaching of the Word of God. And that is a resource for you. If you're new here, we have new life classes that dive into the basics of Christian living. That's a resource for us at 10 a.m. Well, I can only make it to 11. Well, are we searching? How committed to the search are we? We have a Wednesday evening 7 p.m. service. I want to encourage you. If you've never been to a Wednesday night service, come on out. Well, that's hard. It is. I got two kids. It's a sacrifice. And Thursday is a harder day for a parent with little ones. I hear you. But are we searching? Or are we just coming to church to check off the religious box? There are resources. Don't forsake the house of God. I want to encourage you. Everyone is welcome to service. I want to challenge you to attend. Amen. If we're wanting more of God, use the tools and resources at disposal, including every service that we have. Another resource for us is our elders, our teachers, the pastors, our mentors in our lives. We need to utilize these resources. In the Bible, a man from Ethiopia was traveling back home in a chariot, reading the Word of God, and God had sent Philip, not me, because this was the Bible, but Philip to him for this divine encounter. Acts 8:30-31. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah. He was reading the Bible, the book of Isaiah. Do you understand what you're reading? And he said, the Ethiopian, how can I unless someone guides me? Then he said, but I don't need a pastor in my life. I don't need elders in my life telling me how to live. I'll figure it out. Don't worry. Thank you, sir. Me and Jesus, we've got it covered. I'll just, you know, go home and do my own thing. No. It's not what the Bible says. What did he do? He asked Philip to come up and sit with him. We can't allow pride to rule our lives so that we don't ask the question. If you have a question, ask it. If you're searching for an answer, ask it. If you read the story, he was an Ethiopian eunuch. He was high up in the Ethiopian hierarchy and in charge of all the treasure. This wasn't an important dude in his country. But he went to Jerusalem to worship and is coming home and reading the scriptures and he's not understanding. But he wasn't prideful enough to say, well, you know who I am? You know, I'll figure this. I'm smart. Yeah, this guy might have been brilliant. But he said, I need some help. Come on up. Come talk to me. Help me. Jesus gave this amazing promise in Luke 11. verse 9 says, so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. You'll find it. So, or seek, and you'll find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, he who seeks finds. To him who knocks, it will be opened. How amazing and how awesome is that promise? So what happened with Philip and the Ethiopian? Verse 35, Philip opened his mouth, beginning at the scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water. We don't know everything he preached, but obviously baptism came up. And the eunuch said, see, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And they got out, they baptized. And in his searching, along came a voice of experience and understanding. He asked the questions. The answer was given. And the Ethiopian eunuch took action immediately. Why? Because he was searching for truth. He was searching for what it was all about. And he found it. In the end, he wasn't unwilling to talk, to let a voice of understanding and authority be in his life. And verse 39 says, he went on his way rejoicing. He's so thrilled for what God had done in his life. There are tools and resources at our disposal. We have daily devotion booklets available for adults and youth that go along with our 10 a.m. class lessons for free. You don't have to buy them. Did you know that? They're free. And every day you can build on what you heard Sunday and continue to study in that vein, in that topic. We have devotion books for parents to use with their little kids that do the same. My kids love this, especially Tuesday, which is Fun Facts. And we love Fun Fact Tuesday. And again, expounds on what is being taught in Sunday school. I'd encourage you, that is a tool or a resource for you to use in a search. In our search, we need to go to the source. We need to use the resources available to us. So I had this plastic colander, and I used it to scoop up a pile from the seafloor. And when I first pull it up, all you see is this huge hunk of sand with all these little stuff poking out of it. And if all you did was try to find the shark teeth there, or you basically scooped up a pile of sand from the shore, that's very difficult to get out. No, you have to sift it out. As I described earlier, you sift the sand out first. Then once the sand was gone, what was left was a mixture of various items, some rocks, some shells. And yeah, there were pretty shells in there. But that's not what I was after. I wanted shark teeth. So I had to sift through all the things by hand to find the teeth. Folks, there's a lot out there that we have to sift through. There's a lot of books on Christianity, countless YouTube channels that you can consume. There's podcasts we can listen to, TV channels we can watch. We can join a Facebook group about a particular Christian topic. We can listen to Christian radio, have it playing 24/7. There are other religions and schools of thought that can resonate with our search for answers and seem like truth or the answer that we're looking for. But in the kingdom of God, we have to sift through all the periphery, all the noise, all the popular trends, the speaker who is well known, oh, I'm going to watch his sermons. Are you consuming untruth because he's popular and may not have a grasp on truth? You got to sift through it. Or the culturally accepted thoughts to find truth. Amen. John 8:31-32 says, and Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. To properly sift, it goes hand in hand with our earlier point of using the resources and tools at our disposal. We continue to look at the word of God. We get all this stuff in our lives. We finally get maybe the sand cleared out and the basic stuff we can get out. But now there's all this stuff. What is truth? Well, we go back to the word of God. We go to our elders. We use those tools. We use our devotions. We continue to look at the word of God. Don't take a preacher's word for it just because you saw it on YouTube or you heard it over this pulpit. No, you should write down the scriptures that are mentioned. I'd encourage you to. Write them down, or after service, go on and review it again and get the scriptures and go look at those scriptures. Look at the context of the scriptures. Look at the story of the... I just gave two sentences about the Ethiopian. You look at the whole thing.
Find out what is the whole, is that true? Because, you know, sometimes we depend on, and it is, you know, a pastor is the word means shepherd. We're leading and we're guiding, and you know, I trust the pastoral role, and I trust that innately, but I should still go seek it out, else it's just someone saying it. It's not mine. I'm taking their search and their word. I want to search it. I want to own it. I want it to be mine. And so I would encourage you, go back and make sure the thoughts presented are based on the Bible, not just a man's thought or interpretation, whether it be here, YouTube, TV, all that stuff. We have to sift through, and that's, again, that's where our elders, our leaders, our classes, our service all work hand in hand together with us to sift through all that is presented to us when we're searching. We've got to go to the source, we've got to use the resources, and then make sure to sift. Amen. So we're out searching for shark teeth, and I ran into a couple struggles. One struggle was that I kept getting distracted. Two distractions especially, and that was a six-year-old, and at the time a two-year-old. One distraction, who is out now, outgrown, wearing a swim vest, thinks he's Michael Phelps, and can swim anywhere. And then another distraction, who doesn't know how to float very well with a swim vest, much less swim very well, who just wants to be with you in the deeper water. And so all at a beach where there's warning signs that talk about riptide currents, yeah. Needless to say, I maybe only spent about 25 to 30% of the time we were there actually searching. Distractions. We're going to face distractions when we're searching. The question is, will we allow them to thwart our search? Let's look at this story, Luke 10:38. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. This is Jesus. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. What did Martha do though? Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him, Jesus, and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister had left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me." And Jesus answered and said to her, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her." Yes, we don't have to clean the house. Praise God. It's in the book. No, I'm not saying that. Jesus didn't say housework wasn't important. He didn't say we didn't have to vacuum. But he did say at that moment, the most important thing was taking time for relationship with him. He wasn't going to be there in 2 hours, maybe. And you can do the vacuuming and the serving and all that stuff then. But in that moment, you need to focus on what is the most important thing. Proverbs 13:4. First, if we're not careful, we can get distracted from the most important thing. Proverbs 13:4. It's interesting. The soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing. Look at it. The word is soul. So it's talking in a spiritual sense, not just the physically lazy man, but the soul of a lazy man, a spiritually lazy man, desires, has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. There is a laziness in our spiritual search. We can't allow distractions, though. We've got to be diligent, and we're given that promise. Our souls will be rich. Will be made rich. A second struggle I had that day were the elements that I faced. I would kneel down in a couple feet of water, scoop up the batch, because again, I didn't have a nice pole to stand, so I had to dig down. And so I'm kneeling there, and just as I'm pulling it out to sift through, a wave would hit me and knock me off balance. Yeah, it was fun. And then as I attempted to hold the colander up so it didn't dump everything, another wave would come this side and knock me over. I am sure I was a sight to behold that day. I didn't see anyone with cameras out to video, praise God. But I had to recalibrate, anchor myself back in, refocus, and continue the search as the waves kept crashing. There's always going to be external elements in our lives that sweep over our lives during our pursuit of God. They may knock us down. They may knock us off kilter to the point where we would be a sight to behold spiritually to anyone who was watching. This is real for us at Calvary Gospel. We've had loss this year. We've had sickness and still facing sickness and disease right now.
We think we're going to get set, and then another wave comes into our lives. I'll never forget that season of our lives after I got the news that I couldn't have children. The doubt, the questioning, the shaking of faith, the emptiness, all during that time, just wave after wave. Psalm 23 is an awesome chapter in the Bible. Listen to verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you're with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. It doesn't say that we're not going to fear because God's going to remove us from that valley and into green pastures. No, it says that he is with us in those times. There are going to be external elements that sweep over us, but we've got to anchor ourselves back in to the source, recalibrate ourselves, keep digging, keep searching, keep growing, keep seeking, keep knocking, keep asking, no matter if there's waves or not. In our search, our spiritual growth journey, we need to go to the source. We need to use the tools and resources available to us. Be sure to sift out the untruths and not get distracted, and keep searching even when the external hits us. Let's read our opening scripture again, Matthew 13, 45 and 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. What is the pearl's great price? What is the price? I submit to you today that the price is not the value of the pearl, but the search we must take to find it. That's the price. You want to know God? It's kind of simple. You just draw nigh to him. The Bible says he draws nigh to us. You want answers? The cost is searching for it, is asking the question. You're struggling in life. You want to know what the meaning of life, what your purpose on this earth is. You've got to search for it. The price is not the value of the pearl, but the search we must take to find it. You notice something about the guy in this scripture? The search was his job. He was a merchant who was searching for beautiful pearls. He didn't randomly run across a pearl. He was in the business of searching for them. That's what the kingdom of God is like. A man or woman who searches, who is searching. The pearl's great price is the search. The musicians can come and you can stand with me. There's a beautiful scripture that we've held on to in our own lives, and I've heard many folks reference it for their lives, and that's Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And we stop there. It's a beautiful scripture. It's a comforting scripture. God's thinking about us. He's got peaceful thoughts. I think King James says an expected end or something like that. But we have a future and a hope, and so we stop there. But let's continue on in that chapter, verse 12. Then, as a result of that, because of that promise, that future, that hope, that the thoughts that God has for it, as a result, then you will call upon me. This is God talking. And go and pray to me, and I'll listen to you. And you will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, says the Lord. You know, he's thinking about you. He's thinking about me. It's good thoughts for us. And because of that, this scripture is saying, we should then search for him and go to him. You know, sometimes we stop and say, okay, Lord, I believe you. Bring it on. I'll wait for you. I'll wait for you to work in my life. I'll wait for you to bring the answer to me. I'll wait for that aha moment, that light bulb, that voice from heaven. I'll wait for Philip to come and explain the scriptures to me. wouldn't have ever happened if the eunuch hadn't started searching first. And he said, God, he obviously wanted to know more about God, wanted to understand Scripture. So he had to search first, and God sent Philip, said, go down there. God gave him Philip. It was a divine appointment that God told Philip, get down there. There's someone you need to talk to. And it all was set up. But would have it happened if he had never started searching? Yes, God has great plans, great thoughts, a future and a hope, and we can rejoice in that. However, that will cause us, or should cause us, to seek after him. And you know what? I will be found by you, says the Lord. He doesn't play hide and seek. Malachi lately has been like, peekaboo, and hiding in the room. Peek-a-boo. But he doesn't say peekaboo. I forget how he pronounces it. It's really cute. God's not like hiding and like, come find me. You know, like, woohoo. No, you will find him. It's not playing hide and seek where you have to, you know, the goal is to spend your entire life looking for him and being frustrated because you found the best hiding place in the world. But you got to search for him. You got to put forth that effort. Start at the source. Use the tools that you need that are available. Sift through all the untruths. Don't get distracted. And when the external elements that none of us can control come into our lives, keep digging. Keep searching. Recalibrate yourself. May take a moment, but rise back up. Rejoice not against me, O my enemy. For when I fall, I will arise. I'll get back up. I may be knocked down, but I'm going to get back up. I'm going to get back up and do it. Amen. As we begin to sing this song tonight, this morning, I want you to, if you've never gone to the source before, there's something in your life that you're searching for. Come to the front and begin that search with Christ. Jesus wants a relationship with you. He wants to fill you with his Spirit. If you're doing things that maybe don't align with Scripture, or that you feel in your heart, you know what, I shouldn't be doing that. All you got to do is repent, which is saying, God, I'm so sorry for what I've done. I want to walk the right way, the right path. I want to seek after you. Why don't you come? Something on your heart, mind. Let's search after God. Let's seek after God.
This morning. I will lift my hands to you in worship, and I will worship with all my heart. I will search for you, and I will find you. I will find you with all my heart. Truly amazing is the grace.